Hello, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us the understanding, the discernment, and the ability to do your will in these coming days. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Well, I'm always happy to have you listen. Thank you very much for listening to Christ Today. Remember, you can always listen to past shows on christtoday.org. All lowercase, and we have programs on preparedness, and there are many guests also. Okay, so I was thinking about the book by Charles Dickens. The title is A Tale of Two Cities. It starts off with, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." And that makes me think of the days that we are now in. Because while we are in a wonderful time with truly wonderful blessings, too often we think about those things that we would like to have, things that we don't have, things that we want. And so we think, oh, these things aren't so good today. It makes it the worst of times. Well, it sounds kind of to me like a spoiled little kid, because we think about the things we want and we don't have. Well, it's just a human condition. It seems to be just the way things work. But then I realized that we, as Christ followers, we need to concentrate and pay attention to living a life which is pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. And it seems to me that a part of this is to give thanks to God for all the blessings that we do have. Right now, today, blessings all over the place. And when you think back in time, well, a lot of things were different. Now, my dad was born over 100 years ago right here in California, and things have sure changed a lot since then. I think about different stories that he told me, and one was about a 3-story hotel, which was at the time quite new. He was a boy, and he got to see some of the rooms, and every room had a water pitcher and a water basin and a sink in it. Now, if you wanted to take a bath or use the toilet, you had to go to the end of the hall. Ha! There was not one in each room. Can you imagine that? Oh, pretty hard to imagine. But the travelers in those days, they were thankful for the blessings that they did have. And today, we should be thankful for the blessings that we do have. Thankful to God. God the Almighty, the Provider. We give thanks to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Now, back to my dad, a little bit about him is back in when he was just a very young man, he was trying to figure out how to earn a living. And he, with the help of his parents, bought one of those very, very early trucks. And he transported things from the farm to the city. And as a part of doing that, he sometimes went to the Imperial Valley, or even into Mexico, where the food ripened earlier, and then he brought it to places where they were desiring those fruits and vegetables. So to do that, he had to drive through Los Angeles, And at that time, Los Angeles was a tangle of streets. And he remembers the novelty of seeing a street sign, a stop sign in Los Angeles. There were pretty much no street signs and no stop signs except one, he remembers. So what a novelty to think of just how things used to be so very different. So things were different in lots of ways physically, but I don't think the human heart has changed. As an amateur historian, I look back and I see things, times, earlier times, and I don't think that the human heart has changed. I like to look at the Roman Empire. Lots of times that has had my attention. Sometimes the Middle Ages have had my attention. And you look at the situations and the conditions of life, and well, that's pretty interesting. There's a lot of carryovers in our life today in how things were organized and the principles that were used, especially from the Roman Empire. But outside of that, let's look at the human heart and just observe how little the human heart has changed. Really, it has changed very little. And one of the things we can tell from that human heart is that our heart, our desire, wants to have a relationship with our Creator. That is God through Jesus Christ. From that relationship, we get our moral compass, our understanding and directions in our personal life and in our society and our social conscience. All those things come from God's word to us, and that's the Bible. We can see that this is the best way to be. But we still have human conditions, and that is something we live with today. We live with the emotions of love and the emotions of fear. And lately, I've thought about fear because there are people who want to talk about fear and how we should be afraid of the things that are coming. Well, I don't think that's such a good idea. I just happened to have the YouTube on while I was doing work, and I happened to hear four 10 or 20 minute shows in a row. They were all projecting fear, and that's not something you want to be involved with. No. I'm a preparedness guy, and I think about things in the future, but I don't want to project fear. Never. No. But look at the things that could be happening, and then you examine what is reasonable, and you take steps to resolve things, and trying to figure that out is reasonable, but not to have fear. Fear is an emotional reaction. It is not with a program. It is not with... It disables people if that's what they feel. So use your mind and stay away from fear. Okay, we all do recognize that there are things that we would do that would give us problems. And so what do? We stay away from them. We don't do the things which will bring us problems. And it's reasonable to look at what these problems just might be. And it's reasonable to take some few steps to alleviate those problems. And a part of that is what we would do in the event of a disaster. And I think of that. I do think of that because that's what I seem to be thinking about lately is the preparedness aspect of things. And what do I always say? I go back to think, plan, and then do. Don't have fear. Just think, plan, and do. And as you do things and you get things organized, it takes fear out of the picture. You won't have any fear. Well, remember that if there is such a disaster event, you will need to have people around you. You will have to have people you know, people that you will do things with. you will have to have some kind of a community. Now, there will be a few people who will be that lone ranger, so to speak, and they just might get along, but you will get along ever so much better if you have a like-minded community. And may I suggest that is a Christian community? Now, there's other ones would do well in the event of a disaster as well. Like-minded people seem to be able to support each other. And so always think about that aspect of things too. Now, it's not that you need to put lots and lots of attention into it. No, don't do that. But just give it some thought for that, just in case. If you want, you can always look at the ChristToday.org website, because I have some different 1 hour presentations about preparedness. And what I hope that does is gives you the opportunity to think and to see what some ideas are, and then you figure out what's best for you, and just make some plans and then do something. So those preparedness discussions are on January 7th, 2017, January 21st and 28th, 2017, and February 11th, 2017. So look at those dates if you want to, and get some thoughts going and see what makes sense for you to do. And yes, I keep saying for you to do, because if you don't do anything, well, then you pretty much know what your preparations will be and what the results will be. So you just give it some consideration. Now, the world is full of surprises, and we don't know what will happen, not to us, not to our neighborhood or our country or our world. And most of the times, well, you can see things go pretty well. They really do. However, I think it's reasonable to have some preparedness steps so that we can both avoid trouble and so that we can share the love of Jesus Christ by having something to share with others. So, yeah, I like the idea of preparedness. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. As I've said before, I'm not one of those overboard survivalist guys. But I do think that some preparation is good. I like batteries, flashlights, and some food and water. Yep. So look at my past shows to hear what some of our ideas are about those things. Now, with all that said, do remember that Jesus gave us a commandment. It is His commandment, and that is in John 15:12. And that commandment is that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. Now, look it up, read a little before and a little bit after, and grasp the meaning of this. John 15:12. So, as I see it, this is another reason to have some supplies on hand. That way you can show your compassion to other people, to your neighbors, to people you know and love. So, as I've said, whatever you do is a personal choice. Do something, but if you don't do anything, well, you are in fact making a choice also. And that choice may have some consequences that you wouldn't like. So, do something! Yep. Just do something. Sometimes things happen apparently for no reason. There was a Tower of Siloam that was in Luke 13, where 18 men died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Apparently these were innocent men. There was no reason. But the point here is there's an example of things happening for no apparent reason. And they do. And so it's another reason to get prepared. And if you want to look at what to get prepared for, well, look at Matthew 24. That's a pretty big thing to have to talk about. All the things that are going on. He tells about wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence and earthquakes in the diverse places, not just the normal places, but the diverse places. All sorts of things can happen. There will be death, betrayal, and deceit, and false Christs. Wow, that is a lot. That would be pretty bad, or will be pretty bad when it does happen. So, yeah, I like the idea of some preparations. Whew. And if you think that's bad, oh, why am I talking about bad things? Because they're in the Bible and because they are foretold. That's why. Revelation 9:9-9:2, it tells about the bottomless pit that will be opened. Well, I don't know exactly what that means, but it sure doesn't sound good to have the demons coming out into our world. Nope, it does not look good at all. And we have something going on right now, which is the CERN Hebron Collider on the border of France and Switzerland. See, that is one of the ways which this bottomless pit could be opened. So, the thing is there are things going on which could really have some seriously bad consequences. The demonic element of that pit being opened, it just adds additional intensity. So, the important point here is that we develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, really, that is the answer. That's the answer. Get that relationship worked out so that you can call on God through Jesus Christ and develop your relationship with Him. And that way, when troubles come, you can have that relationship and know that Jesus will protect you from the things to come. You can develop that relationship by going to the Bible. The Bible helps you to know Jesus Christ better and have that relationship that is growing, a relationship with Him, that personal relationship. And yeah, it's personal. And He says yes. He has already said yes by coming to the earth and making His sacrifice for you to find a way to come to God personally. And then when you say yes to it, that makes a relationship. And how do you say yes to it? Well, I think you do that by how you live and the actions that you take in life. That shows that you have made a choice to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's by your life. It's by your actions. It's how you live. So you want to pay attention to that. Well, as you can tell, I sometimes go on other topics, and I hope you can see that they're related. I do, but I kind of go a little bit around different topics. And one of the things that, as I said, I had that idea of fear, and I don't want anybody to get lost into fear, because fear is not reasonable, and if you anticipate fear, it's not a good way to do it. You get lost in the emotion and not in the logic. You get unable to act and do things. So to look at that, I want to just realize that if there's something bad right in front of us, we deal with it. We deal with it right then and right there. There's not a chance to have fear. Fear is when you contemplate. Fear is when you're thinking about things. It's not prudent and it's not rational. It is a response of fear. So you go ahead and look at things and get some ideas about how you want to be prepared to deal with a difficult situation or a bad situation, just something. And if you have things in a logical order and if you have your preparations, there is no place for fear. It's just an unnecessary emotion. So you go ahead and think about that. Deal with this on a individual and a personal level. And that's what you do. You think about whatever things that could come up, and you take steps to alleviate the problems. You know, like you have food. Why do you have food around your house? It's so that you don't get hungry. And why do you have gas in your car? So that you can drive home or wherever you're going. So you want to have some of those things on hand, just the most basic of things, like gas, like food. And so that's what you do. You make a little plan. The difference is what we see as a problem. And so we take steps, and we take steps to make it so we don't have those problems. Well, those are really on the day-to-day things, but there is also another element that we can look at if we want to, and that's the spiritual battle that we face. And it's a spiritual battle between God and Satan. And they're in a little struggle, and we know who will win this battle. Well, we've read the book. The book tells about it. It's the Bible. And God wins. There's no doubt about this. God wins the battle. Read the book to the end. You'll see. Now, if we belong to God, we also will share in this victory. It's God's victory, but we go along with it because we belong to Him. And this also means we don't need to fear, because we are a part of that surviving. We survive in our spirit, and probably in our body too, for in a way. So this just means we don't need to fear. There's nothing we have to fear. And as I was saying, it was those YouTube things that I had on the television that brought the element of fear into things, and I didn't like that. I thought it was unhealthy. And I don't want you to get fearful. I don't want you to listen to people who promote fear. And yeah, why would they do that? Because they have something to sell, probably. But the whole point is we do not need to have any element of fear. We can have concerns, and we can think, and then we can make a plan, and then we can do a few things. This doesn't mean there won't be problems. And really, if we want to look at some problems, we can see that there could be some pretty big ones. Really big. And so what do? We prepare as best we can for a possibility. It doesn't mean we live with that orientation. It's just that we're aware of things like, the electrical grid failing. It could fail for days I've gone over it before. There's a possibility of the grid failing for years. But, so be aware of it. There's other things that are some pretty big troubles we just could face, like the dollar, U.S. dollar, rapidly losing its purchasing power. That's in a sense, it's been happening through inflation for decades. But lately, we've been seeing it's more evident that this is something that's coming. We can see evidence of food shortages, perhaps widespread food shortages. There are food shortages in many countries of the world right now. And there's crop failures in some parts of the world as well. Yeah, people are literally starving. They are losing weight. They are eating the pets that they can find. Oh, it's really not good for some things. And so there's, you know, as long as there are these troubles around the earth, we can see that they really could happen anywhere, even in this country. We don't know what'll happen. All sorts of things, and that's just that plain basic level of food. There can be things happen that would change our computer system, and one of them is the supercomputer that's being developed. It's right here in this country. It's the D-Wave quantum supercomputer, and there's a couple of people who are buying them. Google's one person, and there's another branch of the U.S. government. I think it's I think it's IRS, but I'm not sure. But China has bought a bank of these computers, not a bank, a bank of 60 of them. And with this, why, they are developing a new system of supercomputers, and that could allow them to be secure in all of their communications, because they are also, in combination with this, developing a satellite communication system, which is using that D-Wave quantum supercomputer. So it makes their systems unhackable. And from a military aspect, this is a concern. But, well, it's just another thing that we can be aware of that could go right, that could go wrong. And we have to be aware that things can go wrong. Now, these things I've mentioned on some of my past shows. We could have some really big problems. You can see it. And the point is that, just like they say, all politics is local. All problems that we have are right in our own locality, because we need to have things to live. We need to have a relationship with the people around us. And so take those steps. Form those relationships. Get those supplies. Do not fear. If you see a potential problem, identify it and then examine how to minimize it. Keep your priorities straight. And don't forget, the first one, probably, I would say, first seek God and His righteousness. Seek God and His righteousness. After that, pay attention to the other things and see how you can live in a way that is seeking God and His righteousness. Well, that includes looking at the things that are quite ordinary. We live in a world. There's a world around us. There's things that are good. There's things that are bad. And we have to be aware of all of them. We need to be aware of the things that happen on our local neighborhood level. There are things that are good. There's things that are bad. There's things that happen internationally. Or could happen, I should say. Why, I look at, why does North Korea have two satellites over the U.S. every day? I don't know why. It seems like no regular person knows what those two satellites are about. What's on them? We, the ordinary people, don't know, but I say things can happen. Now, don't worry about it, but just have some consideration that some things that we don't expect could happen, and do just a little something to provide for yourself, your loved ones, and your neighbors, just in case something does happen. So we can look in space, we can look in international situations. Things do happen. Things can happen. What they are, we don't know. But definitely have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, I could talk about the Oroville Dam. That's something which is kind of like local. And there's a lot of people who want to say that it could have problems. And there's a lot of people who could say, it's safe, it's secure, don't worry about it. Well, I've been made aware of several things that certainly could be problems. Are they? Who knows? But I think the likelihood is that the authorities do know what they're talking about. However, mistakes are made. People are people. People make mistakes. Authorities make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. And you know what? So do I sometimes. I sure do. And probably you do too. So consider that there are mistakes that are made, and that we just use the best judgments we can, and we prepare for the just-in-case situations. Yeah, that Oroville Dam, that is something. It's probably going to be just fine. But if it was to go, why, we would have serious, serious water problems, serious, serious electricity shortages. And that would mean we wouldn't have the same amount of drinking water. We wouldn't have electricity that would be at all normal. And our farming would suffer. Oh, it would be a really serious situation if that dam were to go out. Now, it probably won't. Probably. There could be an earthquake, too. There's a couple other dams that could have impact on our lives, too. Well, life is full of risks, isn't it? Sure it is. And so just you have to look at what kind of things are a risk and make a determination of what you want to do about it. Now, there are lots of people who won't live in a forest because they're afraid of forest fires. There's lots of people who won't live next to a nuclear power plant because they're concerned about that. There's lots of people who, well, there's lots of concerns. You have yours too. I know you do. So somehow you have to figure out what those concerns are and what to do about them. Well, I think about CERN sometimes. CERN is that Hadron Particle Collider that is on the border of Switzerland and France. I think about that because it's a pretty big thing scientifically. And they talk about, the director of it has talked about, he wants CERN to open a portal into another dimension. Now, I don't know if this concerns you, but it sure makes me wonder, what is he talking about? Another dimension? No, I don't get it, but maybe he doesn't either. But I don't like opening dimensions. I like our Earth just the way it is. Another dimension could mean spiritual dimension. They talk about how many different dimensions there are. Three dimensions, fourth dimension, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, they talk about a lot of dimensions, theoretically. But they're talking about opening a portal, a gateway to another dimension and having some kind of interaction with it. I don't know. It doesn't sound so good to me. What does this mean? I don't know. But I sure wonder about it. I wonder if it means, or it has something to do with the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. Certainly, I can't say that it does, because it seems to be in a little different context. It is in a little different context, but sometimes the elements just reach from one position or one element to another, and you can see in hindsight that the description of the future in the Bible or the prophesying that goes on applies in a way that we understand with hindsight. You know, we look back and we say, oh, that's what, now I understand what it means. But if you look ahead, it doesn't offer the perspective of hindsight. So we just have to guess and try to think about what things could mean. Well, that was sure on a big picture area. Oh, it's kind of interesting. Who knows what we could face, but we are in a spiritual battle. That's for sure. We are. And it's being played out on this earth. And that's something I remember hearing the late Dr. Stan Monteith talk about. He certainly was a thinking man, and he thought a lot about these things. It's fun to listen to because his thoughts were interesting. Another interesting person is David Wilkerson. He was widely acknowledged to be, or to have a gift that was prophetic, a gift from God. And he had one vision that was probably widely, the most widely looked at vision that he had, talked about an economic and a world collapse. It started in Germany and spread to Japan and spread to America. And I think about this David Wilkerson vision because right now, today, Germany's Deutsche Bank is very unstable. It's been unstable for a couple of years, but the stability doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. So I think about a collapse that starts in Germany, and I think of Deutsche Bank. So it would go from one country to another country to another country. And globally, it would of course affect the entire globe. Our whole world would be affected. So, we see a pattern here, and I only think it makes sense to get those preparations lined up. And you have to decide for yourself what those preparations are, because that's an individual choice. And God gives us a mind, God gives us understanding, and an intellect and rationale to make decisions. So look at the problem, look at the potentials, and then when you see the pattern, then you can decide what to do. I don't know what to tell you to do, but I just urge you to look. That is the one thing I've tried to do with all the things that that I presented, is not we don't know any dates, because we don't know the dates. We don't know them at all, but we know the patterns. The patterns have been told to us. We could have some really good, prosperous years ahead of us, and we could have some disasters, or we could have both. We can have good times and disasters. Who knows what it is, but the point is to think, to plan, and then do. So I like to think about, what is it you need? What are some of the basics? It's the old story. We know the story. What do we need to live? Well, you know the basics, and it's obvious. And I think the water is one of the most important basics that there is. Everybody needs water. You need water for your mind to think well, for your digestive system to work well. It just takes water for your body to function. From your brain to your organs to your muscles, you need water. And they say that it's a gallon a day, 1 gallon per day per person. That is what is recommended. But if you're doing hard physical labor, you need more. Perhaps if you are having a certain sickness, there's some sicknesses that you do need to drink more liquid for, water. So that 1 gallon per person a day is minimum. It's hard to store water. It takes up a lot of room, and it weighs a lot. So doesn't matter if it's hard or if it's easy. The point is, you need it. And if our tap water ever were to stop, now I think of, sure, it could be from the dam. By the way, if the dam does break, there would be a lot of water everywhere, but we wouldn't want to drink that water because it would be contaminated. So you do have to think about the water. It's just prudent to have some available. Yeah, if the water delivery were to stop, we would be in a world of hurt. We would be with great difficulty because we'd have to get our water from someplace. Yeah, it could be the dam. It could be an earthquake. It could just be a shortage like we've been having. Water lines can break. So if water were to be a problem, how would we get our water? You just give that some thought. It doesn't mean the water store, grocery stores would have water, because who knows if you could get to them. If there really was a calamity, they might close their doors. Just think, no electricity means no sales. They can't sell anything without a cash register. So they close the doors. So in an emergency, what happens? Often enough, the water companies have a plan for disaster. And even though they have a water truck, or they turn on the water main, a central point where there's water coming out of the ground, they pump it out. And then you can get water from there. But you still have to be able to carry it home. Do you have containers? Water's heavy. Do you have a gallon container, a 5 gallon container? I don't know, but that's just another little something to think about. Get it now while you can. All these things are available, so get them now. You have to figure out how to get that water home. And if, for instance, you were getting it from a creek nearby, you would have to purify it. So think about that. Have some bleach on hand. 8 drops for a gallon of water. And if your water is cloudy, then you use 16 drops. You let it stand for 30 minutes before you drink it. That's kind of the basics for cleaning that water with bleach. You can use other things to clarify water, clarify to make it drinkable. One of the things that I like is the SteriPen. It's an ultraviolet light, and you put it in your glass of water or your pint of water, and you press the button, it goes on, and it sterilizes whatever living things there are in that water. It doesn't take them out, but it does make it so they don't reproduce in your body. So you get that, and you can get a water filter, even a coffee filter is good, because you want that water probably to be looking good if you're drinking water that you've cleaned. So my point is store water. That's really the thing you want to do. Yeah, you can boil it. Boiling's good too. Some people say 1 minute is a good boil. Some people say 3 minutes, but it takes energy to boil that water. So consider storing water now. It's easy to get now. Store that water. It's easy to get now. So you will also want food. You'll want to have some food on hand. You know, we all need food. And we think about food if we don't have it. Does it kill us to not have it? Well, it takes a few days or longer, but if we go without food, it does weaken our body. We want to have food. It's no fun to go hungry. Yeah, sure, go on a fast. See how you like it. You think about food a lot. But the point is you want to have some food around also. The emergency people are saying a 3-day supply of food. Absolutely. 3 days is what everybody should have on hand, and you have to consider that your electricity won't be working. So if you have food in the refrigerator, it might not be good. Have some food that you don't need to refrigerate. Now, I always talk about having grains, because grains last forever. Long, long time. And you don't need to refrigerate grains. The grains, they retain their nutrition, but you do have to grind them. That's the best way to do it, because grains, or should I say flour, loses its nutrition after it's ground. It gets exposed to the air, and it loses its nutrition. So you will want to grind the grain and use it in a relatively short time. Now, a lot of people say for grains, they want rice and beans. That's great. Get rice and beans. But realize that you will want white rice for long-term storage and brown rice for short-term. It's only good for 6 to 12 months, brown rice is. That's because it has fat in it, and fat gets rancid. So whatever you do, you have to figure these things out. Now, remember, a lot of people like beans, and beans do last. They store well, but not as well as wheat. And if you do have a storage of grains, you will want to store your beans and your wheat separately, because the beans give off a gas, and it's just not the best thing for wheat. So think about all these things. Think about having some dehydrated vegetables or dehydrated fruits. They really spice up a little bit of plain old wheat. You can get spices. Yeah, sure, salt and pepper, that's a big one. Which reminds me, in addition to the wheat, you will want to have some other things, like the salt and the pepper. You'll want to have something to cook it in, like a cast iron pot. That's the best thing, because your body needs iron too. So if you have 100 pounds of wheat, you will want to have 25 pounds of sugar, just because we're so used to sugar in our modern diet. You'll want to get 2 gallons of oil, because it's good calories and you need oil. And I'd say 5 pounds of iodized salt. You need the iodized salt because our bodies need iodine. It's an essential element for us. So all these things, you can store them in a 55-gallon drum. That's kind of the easiest way. One 55-gallon drum. Maybe you want three. What are you going to store? Who knows? But you have to give it some thought, and then you have to go out and get it. All this stuff is what you want. You can get these things, and you want to think about getting a quantity of food. Because when you're hungry, you need food. You need calories. You need something to eat. And I'd like to use the FEMA figure of how much wheat do you need? Well, they say that if wheat is a person's primary food, they will need to have 275 pounds of wheat for 1 year. And that's a lot of wheat. That's basically, it's a 55-gallon drum full of wheat. And I do like 55-gallon drums. Steel drums, I think they're a good thing to use. Keeps the critters out. So, if you were to get that 275 pounds of wheat, you would also want those other things like oil, sugar, and you could get some yeast too. That's a good thing. But you get a few other things, and that gives you the ability to make that wheat into something that's reasonably good. Get spices, too, spices. So back to that 275 pounds of wheat. If you had that and a spouse, a few children, and a couple of friends, your 1 year supply of wheat could easily become a 30-day supply of wheat. So especially if you're using some for sprouting, sprouting's very good. You can get the chlorophyll that you need for any diet by sprouting that wheat. It's a good thing. You just take a little bit of care to watch over it. If you're going to turn into wheat sprouts, you can eat those just plain. And if you're going to eat wheatgrass juice, you need a juicer, which are quite inexpensive, but you need one if that's what you're going to do. All these things are good. Just give it some thought. Think about what you need. You can use oxygen absorbers in that wheat supply. That's a good thing. If you don't want to go to that trouble, get some diatomaceous earth or get some dry ice, which releases carbon monoxide. All these things work. What works the best? They all work good, but you just have to figure out what to do. Take care of your wheat, and don't let it stand so that bugs can get into it. So do something. Do something. There's lots of alternatives, but you have to find what appeals to you. Just like it's good to have a few extra things like tools, a few extra things like flashlights. Radios become essential because we are so used to communicating that we need to hear the human voice. And if we don't hear it on the internet or on the television, we do need a little bit of radio. It just gives us comfort to know that there's other people alive and interacting with us. So, and that's another advantage of a community. Have people around you. Give that a try. All these things are things to consider. Now, you will not be able to do everything. There's things that you can't do, but there's also things that you can do. And if you think of things in advance, you can take some steps to form that community, to be in a group of people, whether it's your family or like-minded people, or just the neighborhood you live in. There's something you can do to form a community. Of course, if you have the same orientation and the same goals, it's a lot easier because then you're not trying this and trying that. So I suggest a Christian community if you at all can. So there's other things that we have that could be problems, and just look at them too. This is all in our world of what to do. look at earthquakes, look at tornadoes, and I like to look at Hurricane Katrina, because what happened with that? Well, people weren't really prepared. It took weeks before there was meaningful assistance. Yeah, there were churches, there were people, neighbors, there were people in nearby states, and they made great big help to do things for those people who were affected by Hurricane Katrina. But it wasn't the whole answer. A lot of people suffered. A lot of people lost what they had. And so all these things are, again, things to consider. We have to look. What does it mean? What could happen? Have some thoughts about this, because if you have some thoughts, you can do something about it. Hurricane Katrina was interesting because it did take so long for the federal government to respond to the needs of the people of New Orleans and that area. That was the question I had to ask about that is, if that was to happen in our neighborhood, who do we want to take care of us? Who? Well, I think I'd rather have the things that I wanted. I like my foods and my spices and my neighborhood, so I think I would rather do what I can to take care of myself instead of going to a, what's that called, an Astrodome, where they took a whole lot of people. And then, you know what, once you went in and went into the care of those government people, they wouldn't let you out of that Superdome. You were not allowed to leave. So everybody slept on cots. They were fed. But, you know, you have to figure, what does it mean to not be able to take care of yourself? It means somebody needs to take care of you. And that's something that you get to figure out. Who do you want to take care of you? I think that you would be the best person to take care of you. Yeah. And next to that, your neighbors. Next to that, your church. Next to that, your community. And certainly, the more removed you get from a personal connection, the less you want somebody to take care of you. So, that means you have to be able to take care of yourself, at least in some way. And only you can make those decisions, because we're all individual people. We all make choices for who we are and what we want. So with those choices, with freedom comes responsibility. And that's something which only you can answer, but you do have to realize, if you want things the way you want them, you have to make steps to make sure that it happens in a way that you want. Water is important. Air is important. So if there's an event that makes the air dirty, you'll need something to clean the air, whether it's a particle mask or some little medical mask or just a plain T-shirt. Yeah, you'll need something. Get that water done. I didn't mean water, I meant air. Get that air able to be filtered in some way, and then get the water, and if you need to filter the water, filter the water. If you need food, get that on hand. There's some things that you can do. So always, always, always stay alert to your safety, because that's an area we seem to overlook. And the biggest thing for safety is to be aware. Aware of what's going on around you. And so stay alert. Remember those things that you want to have on hand besides water and food. You want to have some things that are essential for identifying yourself or keeping yourself safe. You might need your cell phone. You might need credit cards. You might need cash. You might need papers to show this is what I have in the bank or this is where I live. When neighborhoods get devastated, they just don't let anybody go in. The neighborhoods are secured by some authority, and if you have business there, you have to prove that you have business. So take that identification with you. Have whatever you need that is your personal items, like keys and glasses, hearing aids, matches, toothbrushes, sure, all that stuff, antiperspirant, all that stuff is good. And, oh, and if you're in a new area or eating new foods, you should consider that you might have trouble with your digestive system. And really what that means is you might need some anti-diarrheal protection. So have some of that, some anti-diarrheal pills. They're easy to get now. Get while you can now, while it's easy to get. Remember that you will need to get, besides water, food, you will need to get your plenty of sleep. Sleep is an important element, too. And for that, you'll want to have warmth and safety. And just pay attention to it. Your medical list can be long or it can be short, because there's always a few things that everybody needs. Yeah, sure, you can say Band-Aids, or you could say medical tape, a few pads, some Advil or aspirin, antihistamine. Don't forget a little Swiss Army knife. They come in really, really handy, especially with the scissors on them or taking care of your nails. You can do all those things, and a Swiss Army knife is just a great thing. Remember a knife sharpener, because whatever you do, you need that too. So think, plan, and do. All these things are really something that if you can plan in advance, you will have a much greater benefit. Medical list, yeah, whatever. If you are on some medications, figure out how to get them, take them, or how to use a natural alternative for that just-in-case situation. Okay, now I'm going to remind you that all these things are available on the web. You can... That's not what I meant to say. I meant to say you can listen to my shows again by turning to the web at www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces, and it comes up. And if it's these shows on preparedness, you will want to listen to January 7th, January 21st, 28th, and February 11th, or even today's. And you can listen to the other guests and all those things. If you want to contact me directly, that would be great. I have an email address, which is prepareforgod@usa.com. Again, all lowercase, no spaces. You can reach me at my postal box, which is through the U.S. Post Office, Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So I would like to hear from you if you have any ideas about what you would like to hear on this show. What different areas can I address that would be of interest to you? I would like this show to be something you would like to hear. And to know that, well, I need some feedback. So tell me what kind of things are of interest to you, and I'll see if I can take steps in that direction. So let me know. I always like to hear also about the community, the Christian community, and what's going on with that, because that is what Christ is doing in our life today through our Christian community. And that's the name of our show, Christ Today. Hooray! So give it some thought, and then always feel free to contact me. And thank you for listening again today. And we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.